We are studying Paul's chapter on love this morning in the Warren County Radio Bible School. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we've come down to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, where it says that love rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. We'll be looking at Elam's notes on those words in just a few moments. These are Sunday school notes he wrote for the Sunday schools of October the 18th, 1925. But I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at these notes. Love rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. He who loves error and rejoices in sin does not love God and men. He who does not rejoice over the advancement of truth does not love God and men. Love beareth all things. This means love is not fault-finding and censorious. It is patient and strives to help all out of error and sin. Love believeth all things. It not only sees the good there is in others, but believes in all the truth in every word of God. And love hopeth all things. It hopes for or desires and expects to receive all God has promised. It never doubts a single promise he has made. Romans 8:24 says, "We are saved by hope." Love endureth all things. It endureth all things for the truth's sake. Privations, the contradiction of sinners, persecutions, and death. Love does all this. And then we read in verse 8, "Love never faileth." The one who properly loves God and men will not fail in his duty. But the apostle means here that love abides while something else ceases. These miraculous gifts of the Spirit, prophesying, speaking with tongues, and miraculous knowledge will cease and be done away when they have fulfilled their mission or served their purpose. But love will never be done away. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Here it says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away." These are the verses that state that these miraculous gifts that they had at the church at Corinth, they will cease when that which is perfect is come. That which is perfect is the complete revealed will of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, completely, unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The will of God was not revealed, or the scriptures were not given all at once, and all through one prophet or apostle, but through different prophets and apostles at different times. God gave one portion by one prophet, another portion by another prophet. Hence Paul says here, "We know in part, and we prophesy in part." They knew in part, until the complete will of God was revealed to all, and miraculous gifts were necessary to the revelation and confirmation of the truth. But when the complete will of God was made known to all, it was made forever as man's guide, and hence there's no further need of miraculous gifts to make known and confirm the will of God. So then, that which is in part was done away. That which is perfect remains. Now we read in verses 11 and 12, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. But now that I'm become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I was fully known." The state of childhood mentioned here was when the will of God was thus being revealed in parts. These miraculous gifts over which the Corinthians were disturbed and envious of one another were the childish things of which Paul speaks and which were to be put away. And the complete will of God and perfected church were the things of man and the things to remain. For now, while the will of God is being revealed, we see in a mirror darkly. We see an enigma in which one thing answers or stands in correspondence to or as the representative of another, which is in some respect similar to it. But then, when the complete will of God has been revealed, we will see face to face or understand fully and clearly everything in God's will as it is. Now I know in part while God's will is being revealed in parts. But then, when God's complete will is revealed, then shall I know fully God's will and know too who are Christians by the will of God, even as I was fully known by the same test. I do not know what this means if this is not it. And if Paul does not mean that the complete will of God revealed is the standard by which we are to know and approve one another as Christians, he certainly has no reference whatever to our future existence in heaven, for that is not under consideration. Now we read about that which abides. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 13, "But now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. But now, after miraculous gifts have served their purpose and have ceased, after the complete revelation of God's will has been given, and after the church has attained into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a full-grown man, into the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, as we read about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, and is able to make the increase of the body into the building up of itself in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 16, after all of this, abideth faith, hope, love. These three, they remain. They cannot cease. And the greatest of these is love. Faith takes God at His word and believes all He says. Hope joyfully expects the fulfillment of all His promises. And love obeys Him and serves men. Faith and hope relate more particularly to one's own benefit. But love seeks the general good of all men. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Faith believes it. Hope expects its promises. But love fulfills it." That brings to an end that Sunday school lesson on Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Now I turn my page and I see we have a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of October the 25th, 1925. And the lesson text is Acts 19, 23 through 34. This is about Paul in Ephesus. And so we read in Acts 19, "And about that time there arose no small stir concerning the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no little business into the craftsmen, whom he gathered together with a workman of like occupation, and said, 'Sirs, ye know that this business we have of our wealth, and see and hear that it is not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there are no gods that are made with hands, and not only is there danger that our trade has come in dispute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana be made of no account, that she should even be disposed from her magnificence, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard this, they were filled with wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed with one accord into the theater, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel. And when Paul was minded to enter into the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain also of the Asiarchs, being his friends, sent unto him, and besought him not to adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they brought Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand, and would have made a defense unto the people. But when they perceived that he was a Jew, with all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, where it says, The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Our devotional reading is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 13. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of Jehovah thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, and giveth seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fig tree, the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Jehovah for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. This Sunday school lesson begins with a geographical note about Ephesus. Ephesus was the capital of the Roman province of Asia, and the greatest city of Asia Minor. Here was erected the Temple of Diana, one of the 7 wonders of the world, and here magical arts prevailed. The inhabitants were noted for their licentious and luxurious life, for the cultivation of magical arts, and for the fantastical worship of the Asiatic Artemis, the personification of exuberant natural production. More will be learned about Ephesus as this lesson proceeds. Now here are some helps and hints for the teachers. After the stay of 18 months, Paul left Corinth for Syria, and he stopped at Ephesus, preaching in the synagogue of the Jews, and left Aquila and Priscilla there, and gave a promise to return if it should please God for him to do so. We're going to continue this study of Paul in Ephesus when we gather for our next class.